traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Did you come to that conclusion yourself?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I saw the comments right away and I was like, that's just not okay. Like, if my...
So if I want to hook up with dudes for a month in March, I can't do that?
Are you making that as a joke or are you being legitimate?
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Impulsive. We are here to fuck shit up today. But first, we must fix something.
You guys might remember at the beginning of the year, this was our first podcast back. This is something that I said. Nobody move. Check your six. Don't breathe. 2019 is off to a good start. I have yet to make a mistake and ruin my entire career.
Look out! Oh, fucking shit!
I spoke too soon.
I hate to hear it.
I spoke too soon because, as you guys know, this past weekend I was yet again at the center of controversy when we said, or me specifically, when I said this on a podcast with Brother Nature.
Again.
No. It's, what is it? Male only March?
Why don't you say this part?
So it's male only March. We're going to attempt to go gay for just one month.
And then swing and then go back.
Yeah. So the LGBT community was not happy with me at all. They roasted and toasted me on Twitter. There was over 140,000 tweets. Again, just
press coverage.
Yeah. It was once again, I was the headline. Logan Paul receives backlash about the going gay comment. And here I am thinking I made an innocuous, harmless comment about sexuality, but the gay community made it very clear that it does not work like that. So I have not addressed this. I actually have been very low on social for two reasons. A, I got my tonsils out. And this recovery is a motherfucker. This surgery is a bitch, and I have not been able to talk even now. That's why I'm sort of talking rhythmically. Shit hurts. But B, I also don't feel like the cookie cutter social media response of uploading an apology video or writing something in my notes and then screenshotting it and posting it to Twitter was appropriate for this. This started on Impulsive, and I want to flesh it out on Impulsive. But more importantly, as I try to do with this podcast, use this as an educational opportunity for us and you guys, the audience, to learn about the LGBTQ community and the things they go through, the struggles they've been through. And believe it or not, I am and always have been and always will be a huge proponent and supporter of the LGBTQ movement. And for the hundreds of thousands of people who tweeted at me online, said whatever, if you guys are even watching this, which I really hope you are, if you ever, never, ever do anything again regarding Logan Paul, I have one ask, and it is that you watch the entirety of this podcast. I think that's a fair ask. And through many of the tweets, and there were many, we got one from an organization called GLAAD. This was one of the first ones that came in. That's not how it works at Logan Paul. So here to elaborate on the subject matter and explain to us how it does indeed work is Air Force veteran, yacht master, author, and inventor of mustard, Josh Seyfried.
Love mustard. Love your work with mustard.
I love mustard too. Low calories, no calories.
It's really just phenomenal all around. How are you, Josh?
I'm doing well.
Yo, so you're from D.C.
I am. I live there right now.
You flew in just for this.
Just for 48 hours, just for this.
Let's go, bro. I wish I was at 100% for you. I have like a lisp. I can barely talk right now. Have you ever gotten your tonsils out?
I have not gotten my tonsils out, but I've had tons of dental work done. Like half my teeth are fake.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, never get your tonsils out. Yeah. This shit is a bitch, yeah. Bro. It sucks.
Yeah.
But thank you for coming. Thanks for joining us on Impulsive today. Hopefully we can get some education today from you. And I undersold you there a bit on the intro. Can you elaborate on some of the cool stuff you've done for the LGBTQ community?
Yeah, absolutely. So I joined the Air Force about 9 years ago or 10 years ago. And I had a pretty untraditional path. Within 4 months, I was blackmailed by an instructor for being gay through my whole career in jeopardy. And you know, when my career was going down, I decided to do something about it. So I organized the LGBT community in a hidden social network that grew to thousands of people. And when we started to work on the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the Pentagon and the White House would actually work with us to help repeal and implement the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. I think most importantly is that during Don't Ask, Don't Tell, the LGBT community felt alone. You know, when they're at a base in Afghanistan or Iraq, there's no one they could talk to.
Right.
And when we started to connect them via social media, they, for the first time, could talk to each other, find people. They were having coffee meetings in Afghanistan. They still do. There's tons of people that are serving right now that are connected because of what we created with our social media.
What's that organization called?
OutServe. It's now OutServe SLDN.
OutServe.
And they still actively work on LGBT issues in the military. As we know, Trump has put on a trans ban of military service right now. And there's trans people right now serving in the military in Afghanistan and Iraq. And we're still fighting for that. And so OutServe SLDN is leading the way on fighting Trump in the courts and also making sure that they can serve.
Yeah, this, which is amazing, man. Thank you, A, for your service, and B, for the things you've done for the LGBTQ community. Like, round of applause. Seriously, amazing work. He has a book. It's called Our Time. I would read this if I could read. I can't read words.
I can do some pictures for you.
Is there,
if you want.
If it's a picture book, I can. I would love to. Love to read it. So this is the thing you're doing is one of the very, very relevant social topics right now. And that's why I actually think this podcast is going to be great, because I am a huge proponent of the LGBTQ community. Again, believe it or not. And I always have been. And so I think I'm very comfortable with this subject. So you're openly gay, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Okay. So Mike goes, yeah, absolutely. I love that.
Surprise.
So did my comment offend you personally?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
And I think one of the reasons it offended me is that I watch some of your stuff on YouTube, but my brothers are 11 and 14 years younger than I am, and they love you. And, you know, they don't watch me on CNN or MSNBC, but they watch you. And so when they see you making a joke about being gay or going gay for a month, it affects them. You are a person that sets the tone of what is acceptable to make a joke of. And so when youth watch you and say, hey, Logan Paul made this joke, that's what kind of legitimizes bullying in school. I mean, because, you know, I grew up, you know, in a Southern Baptist household where I had this in elementary school on the playground. They would joke about, hey, this kid's gay or things like that. And that's what people could take from your comments. And that's why it was awful. And I think to you two especially, like when you heard Logan say this, you should also step up to say, that's not cool, bro. Mm-hmm. Like, I think we need to be accountable as men to each other to say, hey, this is not okay.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Did you decide it was a joke?
What?
Did you decide it was a joke?
For you? Or for what you said?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not think it was a joke at all. I don't think it is acceptable to make that kind of joke.
Do you think it's a joke?
What he said, do you think what he said was a joke?
No.
Was he?
I think
what he's asking is, do you think he was being humorous or was he making a statement about an intention to actually?
Oh, I think he was trying to be humorous.
Okay.
Was he successful? No.
Okay.
Did you come to that conclusion yourself?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I saw the comments right away and I was like, this is not, I mean, that's just not okay. Like if my.
So if I want to hook up with dudes for a month in March, I can't do that.
Are you making that as a joke or are you being legitimate? Like if you are generally want to experiment with men, that's a different thing than saying, hey, I'm going to go gay for a month, making a joke. So if you're making a joke, that's one thing. If you're being serious and want to experiment with men, that's a completely different thing. And if you want to clarify that.
That's what I would love to do here, because that's where I feel like there's a gap somewhere here between what I said and what I tweeted back at GLAAD was this was a poor choice of words, because that's what it was. It was a very poor choice of words. I understand now that going gay is not a choice. That is not what I implied by saying that. That was what the narrative that was chosen that the media decided to run with. I've never thought that. I think who you are attracted to is innate to who you are. That is genetic. And that's that. I've thought that my whole life. And I've had arguments at length at this house about that. Like Plain and simple, that is what I believe. And by me saying I was going gay, horrible choice of words, because I understand you cannot just go gay. But if I want to experiment with men for a month during March, how would you describe that action?
It's experimentation. You're essentially maybe bi-curious and you want to explore your sexuality. And we need to support that. I mean, if that's what you're choosing to do is explore your sexuality, then we can have a discussion about that. And I mean, there's tons of support and resources out there to do so. Because I know it's a very scary thing being a very public person to say, hey, I have this curiosity. I want to explore my sexuality. And we need to have a support system for that to happen.
So but it's not even scary to me. Because like sexuality is so fluid nowadays. I don't think twice about talking about being gay. I don't give a shit. I don't think being gay is cool to me. I think that it's a very cool thing. It is incredibly courageous and noble if you are a gay person to come out and put your foot down and defy society and say, no, this is who I am. This is me. There is nothing more beautiful than being yourself.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
So I didn't think twice about it because to me, sexuality is so fluid. Like, I don't care if he's gay, if she's gay, if he's bisexual, if he's going to be a transgender. I don't give a fuck, dude. So that's why, and this hurts me because I am such a pro-gay dude. Like, what?
I mean, if you're being truthful that you really are planning to experiment with men next month or in February, then let's make that clear. I mean, because I think that's what's, that you need to make that clear so that people
do I need to make that clear?
I think
or
so.
is that up to me? Is that my decision?
It's absolutely your decision, but I think that you need to clarify whether or not it's a joke or not a joke.
So one thing that I saw quite a bit of is that some of the gay community actually defended Logan and said, you know, hey, it's the same as a straight person making or a gay person making the comment that I'm going to go straight. So what's your opinion on that? I know it's different, obviously, because that community has been suppressed, but there is a large gay community that didn't get offended. They saw it as a joke. So I guess that's our learning lesson here is figuring out, okay, well, that's a joke that crossed the line for some people. And I think that's what we're figuring out now.
And I think a lot of people that weren't offended by it kind of probably live in that bubble that, you know, don't have the marginalized community that they live in. I mean, they come from a place of privilege. And I think that you need to understand that the gay community is marginalized. Like 87% of all LGBTQ students are bullied in school. And so we just want to create the atmosphere where you don't have to be the biggest advocate in the world, but you just got to not be an asshole. And that's what we got to do is, and a great example of this is Family Guy phasing out their gay jokes right now, is that we just need to set the tone that it's not funny right now, especially in the entertainment industry. Speaking about GLAAD, they do a study every year about the acceptance of LGBT people in America. And last year it was at 54%. This year it's at 49%. So it's actually going down. And when we see trends like that in America, we need to step back and say, what are we doing to make America better and how we're creating this kind of trend? And I think saying it's a joke sets that kind of trend.
I think throughout
But I just want to make clear. Yeah. I did not say that was a joke. That was the narrative that the media decided to run with because my name is Logan Paul.
Sorry. I mean, are you trying to say that you're going to like explore your sexuality?
Who knows? If I want to in March, I'm going to fucking do it. If I want to hook up with dudes in March, I'm going to fucking do it. Like, I am not on this train of, oh, I'm worried about people think I'm gay or I'm straight. Again, I don't care. I think I said something, again, poor choice of words. And by the way, I'm incredibly sorry from the bottom of my heart for any implication that being gay is a choice. I do not believe that. I think it is an innate who you are attracted to. I think I misspoke and used the word gay, very charged word gay, interchangeably and mistakenly with a word like experiment or tryout. And for that, genuinely am very sorry.
But I think also it's clear that you need to make clear, especially to the people that watch you, that this isn't a joke. That if you're truly going to experiment with men, you're not making fun of this process. Like, I'm taking a dude upstairs, like, and then make a funny vlog about it. Like, you need to be serious that this is, like, something that's going on in your life. Because if you, at the moment that you start making fun of the fact that you're taking a guy upstairs, that's where it crosses the line and becomes a joke.
I have a quick question on that. Are we just to make a clear blanket statement right now, are we as a society at a point where we can say without fail that it is not okay for a straight person to make a joke about the gay community, about being gay, about experimenting with being gay? Like, I think as times have changed in America, we've seen certain jokes ruled out. We've seen things not be okay to joke about. Have we reached that point?
Absolutely not. I mean, like, if you watch Conan, he did a hilarious stunt where he went on Grindr. I forget who he went on with, but he went on Grindr to find people, and it was hilarious. But he's there with a LGBT advocate, and it's funny. But he's not crossing a line where he's saying, hey, I can go gay for a month, where you still have, you know, 35 states where gay youth conversion therapy is still okay. Like, that's where the narrative of, you know, I can go gay for a month is problematic.
So him going on Grindr is him saying, I am okay with experimenting for a short period of time. Like,
what, he wasn't experimenting, but he was having fun with
Why was he on Grindr?
They were trying to just show, like, how you can meet people on Grindr. It wasn't a hookup kind of concept.
But there was an implication there, right? Yeah. Like, there was an implication that he was going to jokingly experiment as being...
Oh, no, there was never an experimentation of, like, hey, I'm going to go hook up with this guy.
Then why is he on Grindr?
Yeah, why wouldn't he use Tinder?
Oh, I use Grindr all the time for not hooking up.
I mean, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I travel through Europe, Grindr's a great way to meet people. No,
hear me out. But you're gay, obviously, and so it's the platform that makes sense for you. Why would he not use a Tinder or a Bumble where there's more of an opportunity to have straight?
He did, too.
He did. Yeah. He did all of them.
Okay,
so, okay, fair enough. Yeah, okay, cool. Okay.
I'm just wondering... And I hate to do this. I really hate to do this, but I do feel a bit like there's a pile of rocks on me, sort of, as you know. I have been at the center of public controversy. But I do feel like there's a magnifying glass on me now that I am trying to get out from underneath. And again, I hate to do this, but Joe Rogan said this on his podcast 3 days ago.
After
3 days ago, which is after I said what I said.
She bird boxes you. When
women
you
are done
world.
With us, man.
They're done.
I feel like they're done. Do you feel like that?
I think it's a precarious time. A lot of chicks are probably going lesbo this week.
Oh, it's dude.
With Trump, I think the more days that the government is shut down, the more women are going to go lesbian. They're going to hate men so much because of Trump, they're just going to go gay.
But do people always
gay people right now are going, that's not how it works. Duh. Remember what I said earlier about jokes?
But what's funny?
Not a single tweet about that.
Well, so one, I'm not the media. I'm not the person that's like putting you up here to say, hey, you did this wrong. But two, shame on you for trying to deflect your own actions. Like, you're literally saying...
Shame on me?
Yeah, I mean, why are
why?
You... Like,
why was there not a tweet about Joe Rogan?
I don't control their other tweets. I don't even know who he is.
I've,
but, like, you, yeah. Like, you're deflecting from your own actions.
Not really. I've
you just said
made it very clear that I'm very sorry for any implication that being gay is a choice. And I'm saying, where's the line drawn between, like, something I say and something another person
shame
says.
Shame on him too. Like, I mean, you want me to get my Twitter out right now and shame him too? I'll do it.
No, I don't, because I don't believe in that. I don't believe in watching something and the very first thought that enters my brain is, wow, what an asshole for attacking well, for our me being homophobic, brother. I've kissed many men, whether it's on film, whether it's just fucking around in the vlogs, like, and this is why when I'm under attack for this whole thing, I'm sitting here like, do I tweet these pictures of me in like films kissing dudes in acting class? Like, what, trying to like prove my gayness? No, that's not right. Then that's weird. Like, which is this whole thing, like it hurts. So I want you to continue talking about this and why, like, cause you're literally, your first thing was shame on you. And that's not what I asked you to do. I'm saying, where is that? Does that offend you?
Yes, absolutely. It does. I mean, I said that first thing. Was that offends me too.
I listen.
Even
though
he clarified that it is a joke, and gave it context.
Absolutely. I think it's, I think at that point, like when you are making jokes like that, it's just not acceptable.
I think what Mike was saying is he's trying to find a narrative. Okay. And you said it's not necessarily that time that we can't joke about these things. So if he's clarifying it's a joke, you know, Logan was clearly not, you know, trying to like defame anybody. So what's a reasonable way that we can still joke about something but not offend people? Because everybody's going to get offended at something.
Exactly. And there's not a 1,000-page manual that I can write, say, hey, you're going to do this joke, do this. Like, I'm not
the context.
It's exactly. It's context. I think what you just said was an example of a bad context. Now, I mean, I believe you when you say that you're an advocate for the LGBTQ world. Like, I'm not here to crucify you at all. Right. And I believe that, you know, your apology is genuine and you can be a great ally. And I think your actions should just back that up. But I'm not here to crucify anyone or anything. I'm just here to talk about how we can improve, you know, the LGBTQ representation in entertainment and make it a better world.
Yeah. Just to go back really quick to the Rogan thing, on your point of like deflecting, you know, he's obviously apologized. I don't think he's trying to deflect. I think what he's trying to do is bring up an example of this train that is run against him, right? And so, let me finish this point. When all of this stuff broke, there was 100,000 tweets. There was big press pickup. There was stuff all over the internet. Everyone was talking about it. And so me and Logan went back and we said, like, man, this video's got to have millions of views on it now. We went back and there was probably 10,000 new views on it. And so what that immediately said to me was people are seeing this headline, Logan Paul makes jokes about gays, and immediately hitting retweet, retweet, retweet. This kid cannot be trusted. This kid is. And so I think there's a combination here of doing something that was unacceptable, but also going out and sharing news, sharing headlines before waiting on the most important thing, which is him giving some sort of feedback or clarity on what he meant, or digging in a little bit and seeing that he's kissed men or had plenty of gay people on the show in the past, or in his vlogs, or were surrounded by gay people constantly. So I had two people reach out to me after the show and they said, hey, I'm seeing these headlines right now. Like, I'm kind of upset. Can you clarify? He has a large audience, so they can't do that. But I got the ability to go and tell those people, hey, man, like, listen, you know me in real life. You know I love you and I accept you. This was a mistake where words were said interchangeably where they shouldn't have been. But, like, he feels very attacked. And I even felt it on this one where people get into this group think in this mob mentality, you know? And so
I'm just wondering, does a poor choice of words, a way I misspoke because of my ignorance on the subject.
And let me say this real quick. Yeah. Like, even when I was prepping for this interview, I completely said that to other people when I was prepping for this. I don't think anything you did was malicious. I just think it was ignorant.
I mean, of course it wasn't malicious. Course it was ignorant. Yeah. But does that warrant 140,000 people telling me to go kill myself? Instead of going gay for a month, can Logan Paul go away forever? 51,000 likes. Is there something? I'm missing something here.
Well, I think he didn't say kill.
Gus, not on that.
What does go away forever mean to you?
Not make video.
Like, not make. I mean,
there are people who have said kill yourself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I get that too. Yeah. I mean, I agree with you that, like, as I started to research this and like watched your videos and watched a lot of the Twitter against you, I actually could not believe how much hatred is towards you. I don't get it. I mean, I know that you've made mistakes and stuff, but like that's kind of the internet bullying that goes on, and it's terrible. And wasn't our first lady supposed to deal with some of these issues?
what's going on over there, Melania? Let's get it together.
Help me! I need your help.
But I mean, like, it's awful, and I mean, it's something that we need to talk about, is like internet bullying, because people shouldn't say go kill yourself. No. People should be doing what I did: reach out to try to have a narrative.
Thank you. This is all I wanted. Yeah. My manager, my publicist, they're sitting for the past week and a half. I'm like, please just get someone on Impulsive so I can talk to them about this. So we can talk
and grow
a conversation. not just an attack wishing death upon someone to go away forever because of a poor choice of words on a long form based 45 minute podcast, which, by the way, is called Impulsive. I'm going to say things sometimes that just come out. I don't always think about them. I'm working on it. I am working on it. But I've said this before. I'm going to make mistakes. If there are a million people watching this podcast, there is a 0% chance that I don't offend one person. I'm trying my best, but I am uninterested in playing this game where I try to appease everyone anymore. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to be myself. If you like watching my content, please do like and subscribe. Get your merch. If you don't watch fucking content.
But that said, you do give a fuck. Don't blanket statement it because you give a fuck enough to have this conversation.
Because this is important for me because for sure, I am a huge proponent of the LGBTQ community. Huge. And I always have been. I love it. I love the movement. And I'm sorry I'm getting so fired up. I know y'all don't normally see me like this.
I mean, that's good
to
be fired up. Yeah. I mean, and I think that's good on you that you want. I know from the back channels that we've had on this that you are genuinely wanting to have a conversation and make this a teachable moment. Yep. And that's important. And I know that you had some issues with your tonsils and you couldn't do it immediately, but that's why I'm here to have these teachable moments. And I think that we're not going to be able to create a manual of these are all the gay jokes you can't say. These are all the other jokes that you can't say. We can't do that. But what we can do is when kind of these reactions happen is have a conversation like we're having now and say, hey, this is how we can, you know, fix this kind of narrative and talk about it and realize that we are all on the same team here and we want to be allies and how can we improve ourselves? Because you understand the position that you're in. We understand the media is unfair. It's been unfair to me. I mean, I get these tweets too. I'm getting so much hate mail half the time. And I'm sure I'm going to get some after this.
You absolutely will, by the way. Yeah. What are you thinking going on Logan Paul's show and giving him a voice? Like,
I'll show you some of this after this that I consult a lot of my, mentors, like, should I do this? And everyone said no. And you know what? And I was like, but what made me do this was my brothers and my family members that they love you. And that's the important message that we talk about this because I'm not doing this for the people in DC or watch me on MSNBC or CNN. I'm doing this for the people that are in high school and middle school that love you and want to have that kind of conversation.
And same, by the way.
Yeah.
And same, because I said, there is nothing more beautiful than being yourself. And I mean that. And if you're gay and you're afraid to come out of the closet, like, I get it. I understand. But hopefully with more conversations like this in 10 years or so, coming out of the closet won't even be a thing. Hopefully people will come out as straight.
Yeah.
That's I believe, how fluid sexuality is going to become, which is I'm thinking way ahead here.
Yeah. And I think it's just important for us that have this kind of like privilege to once in a while just realize that, you know, as we say this kind of stuff or joke about stuff, there are people that are still struggling with this in school. And like when we have bullying as being like exactly what you saw happen to you over the last week happens to kids on the playground still. And we need to make sure that we educate our people to say, hey, this isn't cool. And when we see our friends do this, we say it's also not cool.
You brought up a point about internet bullying just now, about people kind of ganging up on anyone, not just Logan. And I have a question for you about the current cancel culture, they call it, right? And every time he does anything wrong, not even just, you know, this or that, he's canceled by people on Twitter. Canceled. He's been canceled. He's been canceled more times than I can tell you. We shouldn't even be on right now because he's been canceled so many times.
I was canceled. Yeah, I've been canceled all the time.
What has propagated or cultivated or continues to give life to this negative, we're going to end this person cancel culture that we see on the internet? What do you think is driving it? And do you think that, more importantly, would you denounce that from happening no matter what the offense? Like, where is it okay to gang up on someone?
Yeah, it's a scary line to think about because I hate this mob mentality that happens. Like, and what happens sometimes is that we'll have some tweet go out and then a whole cycle of news comes out around it without like any kind of, you know, information about it. And I think that that's wrong. And we need to have the due process to learn about exactly what we're doing now and have that kind of conversation. But yeah, I absolutely do not kind of support this mob mentality of, immediately canceling everything. Let's make these teachable moments because, you know, if the last year didn't kill you then or cancel you, then you're not going to be.
I'm not going to be canceled ever. Like I'm going to be here for a minute. Sorry if you don't like me. Like I'm going to be here. I'm going to stick around.
But we're going to do better. Yeah. But we're going to do better.
Absolutely. Exactly. Please.
Every day.
Please. Every fucking day.
Absolutely.
We're going to do better.
And also, like, by the way, tell us what we're doing wrong, but if we can do it in a different way.
I love that.
Yeah. Is there like a way you could just like reach out to us or like not reach out to us, but even on Twitter, like, hey man, like
here's how, yeah. Again, I don't know if the people I want to be watching this are watching this, but here's how, okay. Let me paint a picture for you. Imagine being a person who sees something that you don't like, whether it's me, Donald Trump, whatever. Imagine being a person and your first instinct is to attack, denounce, and wish that person goes away.
Traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit energycitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.
Grand Canyon University, an affordable private Christian university, is one of the largest and fastest growing universities in the country, offering more than 270 programs online. In addition to federal grants and aid, GCU's online students received nearly $130 million in institutional scholarships in 2022. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu/myoffer to see the scholarships you may qualify for.
What kind of person are you to wish that upon another human being? Instead, think critically about the situation. Use your critical thinking skills.
Research.
Dive in, research, investigate, educate yourself on what's truly happening. Formulate an opinion and then voice that like we are doing now. I think if there's two things people can take out of this podcast, it's that being gay is not a choice. Number one, and the LGBTQ community is happening. And if you're not with it, like, get the fuck out. Yeah, yeah. It's happening. It's a big movement, and it's going to grow and grow and grow until it is normalized. And number two, I am praising critical thinking skills when it comes to your opinion on social injustices, presumable injustices.
And on any issues, by the way.
Yeah.
This conversation is not only relevant to the issue at hand here. This is a massive issue within this country right now. It's the sharing of fake and sensationalized news. And I don't use fake news the way Trump says it.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm not going to get into my personal beliefs, but whether you're conservative, Democrat, a supporter of LGBTQ, whatever, do your research, make critical statements that give people the opportunity to learn and grow from the feedback you're giving them. So not you're fucking canceled, not go kill yourself, not go die. Do you know how many times I've used language like that in the past 10 years since I was a child? Never.
Sky Jackson tweeted this at me.
I don't know who that is.
I don't either. But she has followers.
She looks 8 years old.
It got retweets. Being gay isn't a choice. Being gay isn't a phase. Being gay shouldn't be used for a trend and subscribers. Grow up, Logan Paul. And again, this is where I'm we don't even have to think critically. Let's just think for 1 second. Do you think for 1 second that saying what I said, which by the way, I voiced was a mistake and a horrible choice of words. Do you think that increased my subscribers at all?
I'm not sure.
It did not. That does not increase my subscribers. This is a tweet that got favorites because she wanted to be a voice for her community with no research, context, or any idea what it means to gain subscribers.
So here's my question to you is what would you do? What do you think the appropriate response should be? Because I think one of the...
Which I've gotten, by the way, my version of appropriate responses.
I mean, how do you expect me to tweet after watching you on the podcast, being upset for it? What actions could I do in the first, say, 24 hours?
If you're not you and not coming on my podcast and you want to tweet at me and voice your opinion through the internet, I would not tell me to go kill myself. I would not tell me I'm doing it for views, trend, or subscribers. I would say, Logan, and I've seen these, by the way. I've obviously just choosing the ones that I felt were a little posted hastily. I'd say, Logan, this is why we find offense to this. This is why our community has a problem with what you've said because, and again, I'm assuming here because there was an implication that being gay is a choice.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's definitely
is
what,
that is that the core of
I think that that's definitely the core of it. Is that, like, you know, things like conversion therapy is a huge thing in the LGBTQ movement right now. I mean, it's a huge topic.
Can you elaborate on that? Because right off the bat, that sounds fucked.
It's horrible. Oh, absolutely. It's absolutely. Yeah. So in these states, parents are allowed to, like, say, commit their children to, like, conversion, like
antidepressants.
Yeah. And say, hey, yeah. And there's tons of stories out there. There's some great advocates on this issue. But, like, imagine being able to just put your kid in a home to say, hey, you need to convert back to, being straight. And I mean,
what the fuck?
There's actually a story. I think it's actually the very first one in there that talks about this person who was made to go straight. And then he got married to a woman, had a child, and then, like, you know, ended up breaking down in the military just a few years later. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that happens.
And
that's an important topic that, like, I think that's where it really hit home for a lot of people, is that, like, that's such a big important issue right now.
Did you say that was happening in 35 states?
Yes, it's still a lot in 35 states right now.
And it's being propagated by some top officials that I won't mention.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, there are people that are behind it that are high ranking.
Well, I mean, like, Pence's wife. Yeah,
I'll say it.
Pence's wife works at a school that, you know, you can't support being a homosexual, right, or being gay. And I think that's the kind of atmosphere we live in right now, especially with the political climate. That, and like, it's so heated right now that you get some of this reaction.
And she's getting slammed.
Oh, absolutely.
It. And rightfully so.
Absolutely.
And so he said one of the ways you can respond to him when he makes a mistake on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram or whatever is to, you know, say, this is why we were offended. I even say, take a step back one more and say this, because not only is it the right thing to do, but it gives you more ammo if you are in the cancel culture. Say, Logan, can you clarify what you meant by this?
Yeah.
Logan, what did you mean by this?
Which that's about, like, surrounding yourself with people and friends that can help you along that way.
Right.
Like, I think that's exactly what you're doing now and hopefully what you'll do in the future.
Publications did reach out,
yeah,
in all fairness, and say, can you clarify what you meant by this? But I felt everything that's just been said needed to be said to answer that question. And I didn't feel like a tweet or an email would have justly got that done.
Yeah.
So as someone who you've been in the military receiving that kind of oppression, that's not easy. You have to be tough to be doing what you're doing, to be now a crusader, if you will, towards this movement. So as someone who's overcome that kind of hate, what would you recommend to those people who do find offense? Do you recommend take action instead of just hating and just sitting in that?
Well, definitely no one should ever say, go kill yourself. Like, that's a line that I think everyone definitely should never cross.
What about go away forever? A boiled down version, which to me means go die.
I don't think that means the same.
I feel the same way as you.
We also live in a country where free speech is allowed, right? Like, that's,
I get it. Yo, absolutely. Go tweet your thing. But, like, also, like,
I mean, I believe cancel Logan right now because I don't see the cute little dog running around.
Like, yeah, where's Kong?
Where is Kong?
Can we get Kong?
Yeah, here? Yeah, actually.
Someone?
So cancel Logan until this comes out.
Yo, I've been canceled so many times. I've been canceled.
Well, we're just do it again.
We're waiting for somebody to uncancel him, actually.
I know. I'm ready to come back. Yeah. But no, wait. I like that. I like that question. What was the...
Yeah, so, I mean, you're in the military, yeah, of all places. That's the... I mean, that's got to be the worst level of hate.
I watched an interview of you, and your interviewer asked this, and he said something about Air Force Academy cadets being sexually assaulted and you could not report it or something.
Yeah, that's a thing. It was an interview with John Ferrugia, who's an amazing reporter out of Colorado. He's the one that broke the famous sexual assault scandals back in, I want to say, 2003. And yeah, it's an angle of Don't Ask, Don't Tell that was never covered. Imagine living in the world in which, say, a person was raped and couldn't turn around and report it because, by doing so, they're outing themselves. Right. And that exactly happened. It happened more than you can count. And that creates a very scary culture.
Of course.
Yeah.
And you obviously played a huge role in the repeal of the Don't Ask, Don't Tell. So for those of our audience members who don't know, can you elaborate a bit on what it was and what you did to repeal it?
It is actually amazing. I was speaking at the Air Force Academy about, I think, 2 years ago, and I was speaking to some English classes, and you know, I would ask, do you guys know what even Don't Ask, Don't Tell is? And they were like, you know, it's the policy that made gay people stay in the closet. And it was like, it was fascinating to me that, like, people didn't even know the policy. So I can imagine, like, even your viewers don't even know what Don't Ask, Don't Tell really is. Don't Ask, Don't Tell was a policy passed by Bill Clinton that was supposed to be a compromise that people wouldn't say that they're gay and people wouldn't ask them if they were gay. And so it forced the gay service members to be in the closet. Now, it did lead to witch hunts. It did lead to situations we just talked about where, you know, you couldn't report a sexual assault. It led to a very horrible time in the military. And I think we're at 9 years now. It was repealed. And so now gay service members can serve openly. There's been no problems whatsoever. The day Don't Ask, Don't Tell was actually repealed, we had 100 people come out together in a magazine because we wanted to rip the Band-Aid off, say, hey, there's no issue here. Like, everything's business as normal. And it was. And then we had the – right when Obama was leaving office, he was going to allow transgender service, which is still going on right now. And then Trump, when he came in, went for his trans – ban immediately. And we're seeing that fight right now in the courts. And that's still to be resolved. And trans service members, you know, right now are still deployed in Iraq, Afghanistan, still fighting at this very moment. And yet we have this climate where we're turning our backs to them and not supporting them. So, I mean, this fight for trans service members is far from over. And we're going to be fighting it for a while.
Yeah, I agree. That's a subject that I think there's a lot of chiseling away at currently right
now. Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I think it will happen. I think it will.
It's an embarrassment when all these other Western nations, you know, have had this for 20 years. And I mean, it was the same with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Like, we were one of the last Western nations to repeal or to allow open service. And it's an embarrassment.
Why do you think that is?
You know, I mean, I think part of it was the compromise that happened with Don't Ask, Don't Tell. You know, there was missteps with the political action that happened during that time. And so we kind of got stuck with this legislation and we had to work 20 years to go through Congress. Like, it's a long process to repeal a law. And I think because we had Don't Ask, Don't Tell, it just took that long to actually repeal it. It's a process.
Besides Logan Paul, what do you think currently is the biggest threat to the gay and lesbian community? But seriously.
I'm not a threat.
But seriously.
Like, I'm on your team, bro. Like, but, hey, this is the third, by the way.
But seriously, though, and outside of the... Yeah, say hi to Kong.
Hi.
Kong's hey, fuck man. You, man. Nah, fuck
but,
you.
But seriously, though, what is? Because you have a platform right now. You have young people watching the show, like you said. Besides, you know, this.
But I don't even know if they are, bro. Like, they are.
People will be watching this. And by the way, this is a charged subject. It'll get out there.
So, yeah,
like,
yeah,
beyond the trans ban and what we've already talked about, like, what do you think is the core issue that the LGBTQ community is facing right now? And more importantly, what can influencers or policymakers do to continue to support you guys' cause?
You said it in your Hollywood Reporter interview. You said it at the very end when you talked about Taylor Swift, where a lot of you want to stay apolitical and you know, I understand that completely, but I think there's becoming a line where even Taylor Swift is like, we kind of need to say something at some point. Yeah. And I think we're definitely getting there when, you know, people are at the border wall and children are dying. I think we're getting to the point that it's getting there. Well, it is there. So I think first you have this problem with the administration. And then I think second is just culturally, right? The numbers that I talked about, we're going from 54% to 49% of, you know, acceptance in the LGBT community with normal Americans. So I think that, that's definitely, we just need to keep doing a big culture change.
Do you think that's a direct result of the administration? How long has that trajectory been dropping?
Just this last year. So yeah. we went from, you know, 54% last year to now 49%.
And
so,
I mean, it seems like it's pretty obvious what the cause of that is.
I mean, I think it's that whole kind of like thing of, you know, he claims he's the most, you know, supportive president to the LGBT community, but like then he goes and immediately does the trans ban. Like, he's not a supporter right now. And I think that that's a huge threat and we need to keep talking about it because it's just going to keep getting worse.
Not to change the subject and go backwards, but I'm going to do just that. You brought up my Hollywood Reporter interview. What is it, like a 3-page, 4-page spread the HR did?
With the beard.
With the beard. I had the beard at the time. Yep. And the writer, Seth Abrahimovich, is gay, openly gay. He DM'd me on Twitter when this was all going down. He said, I personally found it funny. And this is an openly gay guy. And he said, not all gay people think the same things, which I know is obviously true. But he said the same question that I asking is why is it fluid for everyone else and not you? And I think the people that did find a problem with what I said were very vocal about it. And I want to do my best to try and clarify everything for them. But I also do want to say, like, there are people who are a little bit more laid back when it comes to this stuff. That it's not you per se, but like Seth, the writer of the Hollywood Reporter article, like he was one of those people and he offered to come on Impulsive. That's why Seth, I'm sorry, you know, I love you. That's why I feel comfortable reading what he said to me.
And I just think it comes with the territory. We all know that. Like, it's, you're a public figure and everything you say is going to be scrutinized, like, true, like you said. Yeah. And so it's just, it's, you know, when these kind of incidents come out, it's just using them as a teaching moment to say, hey, like, this is what's going on. This is the truth, and putting it out there that way. That's all you can do.
Yeah. I think a danger, I'm around education a lot and I travel to a lot of different schools, and they've said about the kind of hate that Logan receives and other people in the space. This is not setting a great example to our kids in terms of making mistakes either.
Yeah.
Because we're really scaring.
Oh, absolutely.
Kids, I mean, into not making mistakes.
I caught myself doing that the last 48 hours as I was debating whether or not I was going to do this. I'm like, wait, why am I debating this? Like, we should be not running away from this, but actually engaging people like this to have these conversations. Yeah. Like, it's
part of the growing process.
Exactly.
It's natural.
I agree.
I've said stuff back in high school that, you know, like when I was in the closet, I made fun of gay people. And like, it's like,
man, you're fucked up for that.
Yeah. And I mean, but I did that as a defense mechanism.
Sure.
And like, I can't be like, we can't go be like, oh, you said this in like seventh grade. But like, that was, you know, my process of coming out. And yeah.
I think a counter his point. I do this sometimes. We have these little back and forth.
Are we about to do this?
Not in a crazy way. But I think one of the my intuition tells me that one of the reasons why you're upset is that we can't make a judgment based on the fact that one or two or 1,000 people weren't upset by it, because there's a chance, and we know for a fact that many were. And so I think it's a situation where we need to be mindful of the fact that by upsetting one even is problematic sometimes.
No, but it needs to be addressed.
Addressed, right?
One or 140,000, it needs to be addressed.
Because, right.
Because suffering is suffering. Being hurt is being hurt. Being offended is being offended.
Right.
And this is something that I feel like I fucked up on. Like, right. I fucked up.
And he also made a point about the people not, that found it funny, not speaking up. And I think that goes back again to cancel culture. And I think it's everybody, like, you see a person stop and help an old woman across the road with her groceries nowadays. Nobody's running around her shouting, "World star, world star, world star." It ain't fucking happening, bro. You know what's happening? Fights, drug deals caught on tape, you know, like cheating spouses caught on camera. We have become obsessed with negative action, with bad things. And I think so. The positives, unless you're following, you know, some vibey, you know, magazine or something online, you're not seeing that stuff.
But you're seeing that juice. That's that juice, bro. That's
dirty laundry pays the fucking bills. I've said it 100 times.
It does.
And so it just continues to pop up. And so I think anytime we give them that kind of ammunition, they're going to use it. But
well, I think it's a difference between the community of people that, when they see something, they reach out and they lash out. And then there's the community of people that see something and then they reflect. And I think that's the movement that is taking place. You might not see it, but it is.
Well, here's the problem.
People are reflecting.
Here's the problem.
Stuff.
It's a small fucking movement, bro, because the majority
it's not small. Okay. I'll correct you with that, because it's not small. Right. It's just quieter.
Yeah.
Because inner reflection is so much quieter than saying, yo, fuck you for that. You know, it's just different.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think, like what you're saying, it's important that we address this 100% because we're trying to get better. We're growing. But it's just disappointing, you know, when we're seeing, we're making progress, but then you see, like, hey, we're climbing our way out a year later and we're seeing Fox News,
which,
CNN.
Which, blah, by the way, exactly a year later, perfect. January, like right on. I hate you. But I hate me January.
To us, there's so many employees, there's people around here that we're all working together. It's a team. And so I think, you know, seeing that stuff, it doesn't really affect us at the end of the day, but, you know, it's good to set the record straight.
If I have to be the lightning rod of chaos and calamity in order for extreme change, macro scale conversation, I will fucking do that. Attack me all you want, and I will address anything that you think that I think needs to be addressed in order for the progression of society.
And I'm just saying,
I'm fucking fired up because yo, go. I'm here to change the fucking world.
Truth,
I'm here to
dent the universe.
Exactly. I'm here to make sure we as humans move forward, not backward. And anytime that I feel like I may have done that, which I feel like I may have done with this last,
I think that's the important thing is realizing that. Do you believe that you made a mistake? And I think you said, yes, you do. And that you're willing to have these teachable moments to move the ball forward. And I think that's where we got to go. Is that like, hey.
I think people are just getting sick of like, how many chances are we going
to
give this
kid? And I'm sick of that. And by the way, to Spencer's point on that, people become scared of making mistakes. And I think, like you said, it's teaching this lesson that mistakes are not okay. And I challenge these people who say, this is strike number two on Logan. One more and you're canceled. But, first of all, we've been canceled. Like but one quick note, I challenge you, cancelers of the world, sit down. Make endless 45-minute open format conversation after conversation after vlog after conversation. Do it perfectly without insulting, offending, or fucking up in any way. And I will write you a check. It will be from his checkbook, but I will fucking write it.
You got it. Y'all got it. You could do it. Easy. What were you going to say?
No, I mean, I think that's, I completely agree with you. Like, one example I thought of is like, what if I was about to tweet that I was about to come on your show without the context of us actually doing the show? I would have had so much hate. I can almost
guarantee you would have backed out.
Yeah.
Exactly. I was going to tweet and say how excited I am for this. Yeah. And I was like, no, I'm not going to, because you probably would have backed out. Yeah. Which,
Maybe.
I don't know. You're like,
he's pretty courageous, dude.
Your character. But
I mean, I flew all the way out here. At a point, I probably would have still come on at this point. Like,
no, but
yeah. I am mad that like you guys are doing like the sober January. I thought we were gonna have like martinis out.
Hell no, bro. Dude. Sober vegan. Which, by the way, I've almost broke so many times, but I haven't yet. Stayed strong. Sober vegan.
Stayed strong, my friend.
I had to make it through my birthday sober and vegan, dude. It was tricky.
He did it.
And I did it.
I was.
Great job, Mike. Great job, Mike.
So do you feel like we've addressed everything that needs to be addressed, or is there something that you want to talk about?
I think that you've realized that you had a mistake. I think it's just up to you to continue that action, right?
Like, I know it's very easy.
Yeah, exactly.
Because at the end of the day, bro, it's just ignorance. It's not, again, there's no malicious intent with all, especially with this, which is why I'm so comfortable talking about it, is because I'm very pro-gay. I'm pro-progress.
Yeah.
So I have a quick question. Instead of doing what was the original plan for March, do you have a suggestion that maybe would be more productive and could drive some positive awareness?
Ooh.
This is putting you on the spot,
that's
by the
really
way. If you want to wait and tweet
give me a few more minutes. And then, but I think just use this, because we're obviously going to have some press after this, encourage your followers to like follow GLAAD and do say, hey, like here's what happened. Here's a conversation we had. Let's use this as a teachable moment. And you can follow this organization to do better. And then let's just see what happens over the next few months to keep doing that ally. If you make these mixed steps is reaching out to people like me to say, hey, how do we make this a teachable moment? And yeah. And then maybe next time we can go do something more fun.
I agree.
I'm
down. We do fun things sometimes.
Go for a ride.
I haven't been because my fucking tonsils.
Yeah. I mean, Fortnite's fun.
I just tweeted about this. I have no idea what Fortnite is.
Oh, come try it. Come hang out with us.
What is it? Is it like a video game?
Hold on. That's odd.
I feel like I'm about to get murdered for that. Is there going to be a cancel, Josh?
How old are your brothers?
The one is 21. One is 23. One just signed up to go into the Army as a drone pilot. So
thank you, brother, for that.
Yeah. So awesome. They probably know what it is. But
as a drone pilot?
Yeah. For the Army. Yep.
So it'd be stationed in Vegas?
I don't know. I don't know where the Army is. Okay. I'm only Air Force. Yeah,
yeah. That's so. Very cool. Okay. I think I'm very happy with this podcast. And again, really thank you for coming on. I understand if you guys are going to tweet hate at Josh, please don't.
Tweet it at us instead. Just send it back at us.
I'm fine. It's fine. I've dealt with it before. I'm canceled currently. Josh Seafried, thank you for coming on. Is this still happening?
Yeah,
can they get this book?
Absolutely.
Our time. Again, I'm going to flip through where this picture's in. thank you guys for listening and watching to this episode of Impulsive.
Thanks again for your service, by the way.
And
to anyone out there serving, huge thanks to you. Just got to say it.
I echo that. Massive thank you. If you're not part of the Impulsive Gang, make sure to subscribe, like this video, and we will see you guys next time. Take it easy, fam. Peace.
3 traffic jams, tailgating, pileups. Ugh, the joys of driving. How could it get worse? The federal government wants to have a say in what you drive. That's right. The Biden administration's EPA is pushing mandates that would ban 2 out of every 3 vehicles on the road today. Don't let Washington become your backseat driver. Protect the freedom of driving your way. Visit EnergyCitizens.org. Paid for by the American Petroleum Institute.